welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps, episode 5, book 3 by R.L. Stine. This is Monster Blood, and as a little change of pace here, despite the name of the podcast, it will be read by Sam Skills, aka Sam to the motherfucking Skills with a Z. You may know Sam from being involved in everything I'm involved in. You know, or you may know me because I'm kind of the poor man Sam Skills. I am the cake to his pie, the shaggy to his violent J, the hurricane high gravity to his steel reserve, if you will. Anyway, I'm going to let him kick this off. It is Monster Blood by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps, read by Sam Skills.
Goosebumps number 3, Monster Blood by R.L. Stine, Chapter 1. I don't want to stay here. Please don't leave me here. Evan Ross tugged his mother's hand, trying to pull her away from the front stoop of the small, gray, shingled house. Miss Ross turned to him, an impatient frown on her face. Evan, you're 12 years old. Don't act like an infant, she said, freeing her hand from his grasp. I hate when you say that, Evan exclaimed angrily, crossing his arms in front of his chest. Softening her expression, she reached out and ran her hand tenderly through Evan's curly, carrot-colored hair. And I hate when you do that, he cried, backing away from her, nearly stumbling over a broken flagstone in the walk. Don't touch my hair. I hate it. Okay, so you hate me, his mother said with a shrug. She climbed up the two steps and knocked back on the front door. You still have to stay here till I get back. Why can't I come with you? Evan demanded, keeping his arms crossed. Just give me one good reason. Your sneaker's untied, his mother replied. So? Evan replied unhappily. I like 'em untied. You'll trip, she warned. Mom, Evan said, rolling his eyes in exasperation. Have you ever seen anyone trip over his sneakers because they were untied? Well, no, his mother admitted, a smile slowly forming on her pretty face. You just want to change the subject, Evan said, not smiling back. You're going to leave me here for 2 weeks with a horrible woman, and, Evan, that's enough, Miss Ross snapped, tossing back her straight blonde hair. Catherine is not a horrible old woman. She's your father's aunt, your great aunt, and she's a total stranger, Evan cried. He knew he was losing control, but he didn't care. How could his mother do this to him? How could she leave him with some old lady he hadn't even seen since he was 2? What was he supposed to do here all by himself until his mother got back? Evan, we've discussed this 1,000 times, his mother said impatiently, pounding on his aunt's front door again. This is a family emergency. I really expect you to cooperate a little better. Her next words were drowned out by Trigger, Evan's cocker spaniel, who stuck his tan head out of the back window of the rented car and began barking and howling. Now he's giving me a hard time, too, Miss Ross exclaimed. Can I let him out? Evan asked eagerly. I guess you'd better, his mother replied. Trigger's so old. We don't want him to have a heart attack in there. I just hope he doesn't terrify Catherine. I'm coming, Trigger, Evan called, like a little bitch. He jogged to the gravel driveway and pulled open the car door. With an excited yip, Trigger leapt out and began running in wide circles around Catherine's small rectangular front yard. He doesn't look like he's 12, Evan said, watching the dog run and smiling for the first time that day. See, you'll have Trigger for company, Miss Ross said, turning back to the front door. I'll be back from Atlanta in no time, a couple of weeks at the most. I'm sure your dad and I can find a house in that time, and then we'll be back before you even notice we're gone. Yeah, sure, Evan replied sarcastically. The sun dipped behind a large cloud. A shadow fell over the small front yard. Trigger wore himself out quickly and came panting up the walk, his tongue hanging nearly to the ground. Evan bent down and petted the dog's back. He looked up at the gray house as his mother knocked on the front door again. It looked dark and uninviting. There were curtains drawn over the upstairs windows. One of the shutters had come loose and was resting at an odd angle. Mom, why are you knocking? He asked, shoving his hands into his jeans pockets. You said Aunt Catherine was totally deaf. Oh, his mother's face reddened. You got me so upset, Evan, with all your complaining, I completely forgot. Of course she can't hear us. How am I going to spend 2 weeks with a strange old lady who can't even hear me? Evan wondered glumly. He remembered eavesdropping on his parents 2 weeks earlier, when they had made the plan. They were seated across from each other at the kitchen table. They thought Evan was out in the backyard, but he was in the hallway, his back pressed against the wall, listening like a little sneaky weasel. His father, he learned, was reluctant to leave Evan with Catherine. She's a very stubborn old woman, Mr. Ross had said. Look at her. Deaf for 20 years, and she's refused to learn sign language or to lip read. How is she going to take care of Evan? She took care of you when you were a little boy, Miss Ross had argued. That was 30 years ago, Mr. Ross protested. Well, we have no choice, Evan heard his mother said. There's no one else to leave him with. Everyone else is away on vacation. You know, August is just the worst month for you to be transferred to Atlanta.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Ross said sarcastically.
Okay, discussion closed.
You're absolutely right, dear, he said in the voice of a angry narrator. We have no choice. Catherine, it is. You'll drive Evan there and then fly down to Atlanta.
It'll be good experience for him, Evan heard his mother say. He needs to learn how to get along under difficult circumstances. You know, moving to Atlanta, leaving all his friends behind, that isn't going to be easy for Evan either.
Okay, I said okay, Mr. Ross said impatiently. It's settled. Evan will be fine. Catherine is a bit weird, but she's perfectly harmless.
Evan heard the kitchen chair scraping across the linoleum, indicating that his parents were getting up. Their discussion ended. His fate was sealed. Silently, Eddie made his way out to the front door and around to the backyard to think about what he had just overheard. He leaned against the trunk of the big maple tree which hid him in front of the house. It was his favorite place to think.
Why didn't his parents ever include him in their discussions?
He wondered. If they were going to discuss leaving him with some old aunt he'd never seen before, shouldn't he at least have a say?
He learned all the big family news by eavesdropping from the hallway like a sneaky little weasel. It just wasn't right that he was such a sneaky little weasel.
Evan pulled a small twig off the ground and tapped it against the broad tree trunk.
Aunt Catherine was weird. That's what his dad had said. She was so weird his father didn't want to leave Evan with her. But they had no choice. No choice. Maybe they'll change their minds and take me to Atlanta with them, Evan thought. Maybe they'll realize they can't do this to me.
But now, 2 weeks later, he was standing in front of Aunt Catherine's gray house, feeling very nervous, staring at the brown suitcase filled with his belongings, which stood beside his mother on the stoop.
There's nothing to be scared of, he assured himself. It's only for 2 weeks, maybe less.
But then the words popped out before he'd even had a chance to think about them.
Mom, what if Aunt Catherine is mean?
Huh? The question caught his mother by surprise.
Mean? Why would she be mean, Evan?
And as she said this, facing Evan with her back to the house, the front door was pulled open and Aunt Catherine, a large woman with startling black hair, filled the doorway. Staring past his mother, Evan saw the knife in Catherine's hand, and he saw that the blade of the knife was dripping with blood.
Chapter 2.
Trigger raised his head and began to bark, hopping backward on his hind legs with each bark. Startled, Evan's mother spun around, nearly stumbling off the small stoop. Evan gaped in silent horror at the knife. A smile formed on Catherine's face, and she pushed open the screen door with her free hand. She wasn't anything like Evan had pictured. He had pictured a small, frail-looking, white-haired old lady, but Catherine was a large woman, very robust, broad-shouldered, and tall. She wore a peach-colored house dress that had straight black hair. Was she a transvestite? Wearing no makeup, her pale face seemed to disappear under the striking black hair, except for her eyes, which were large and round and steely blue.
I'm a slice of beef,
she said in a surprisingly deep voice, waving the blood-stained kitchen knife. She stared at Evan.
Do you like beef?
Yeah, he managed to reply. The fact that she couldn't speak clearly because she was so deaf, being weird, echoing through his ears. His chest was still fluttery from the shock of seeing her appear with a raised knife. Catherine had opened the screen door, but neither Evan nor his mother made any move to go inside.
He's big, Catherine said to Miss Ross. A big boy, not like his father. I used to call his father Chicken, because he was no bigger than a chicken.
She laughed as if she had cracked a funny joke. Miss Ross picked up Evan's suitcase, glanced uncomfortably back at him.
Yeah, he's big, she said.
Actually, Evan is one of the shortest kids in his class, and no matter how much he ate, he remained as skinny as a spaghetti noodle, as his dad liked to say.
You don't have to answer me, Catherine said,
stepping aside so that Miss Ross could get inside the house with a suitcase.
I can't hear you.
Her voice was deep as a man's, and she spoke clearly, without the indistinct pronunciation that some deaf people have. Oh, wait, no. She spoke with that distinct pronunciation that some deaf people have. Evan followed his mother into the front hallway, Trigger yapping at his heels.
Can't you keep that dog quiet? His mother snapped.
It doesn't matter, she can't hear it, Evan replied, gesturing toward his aunt, who was heading to the kitchen to put down the knife. Catherine returned a few seconds later, her blue eyes locked on Evan, her lips pursed, as if she were studying him.
So you like beef?
She repeated. He nodded.
Good,
she said, her expression still serious.
I always picked beef for your father, but he only wanted pie.
What kind of pie? Evan asked, and then blushed when he remembered Catherine couldn't hear him.
So he's a good boy, not a troublemaker?
Catherine asked Evan's mother.
Miss Ross nodded, looking at Evan.
Where shall we put his suitcase?
She asked.
I could tell by looking he's a good boy, Catherine said.
She reached out and grabbed Evan's face, her big hand holding him under the chin. Her eyes examined him closely.
Good-looking boy,
she said, giving his chin a hard squeeze.
He likes the girls?
Still holding his chin, she lowered her face to his.
You've got a girlfriend?
She asked, her pale face right above his, so close he could smell her breath, which was sour. Evan took a step back, an embarrassed grin crossing his face.
No, not really.
Yes,
Catherine cried, bellowing in his ear.
Yes, I knew it,
she laughed heartily, turning her gaze to Evan's mother.
The suitcase?
Miss Ross asked, picking up the bag.
He liked the girls, huh?
Catherine repeated, still chuckling.
I could tell, just like his father. His father always liked the girls.
Evan turned desperately to his mother.
Mom, I can't stay here,
he said, whispering even though he knew Catherine couldn't hear.
Please don't make me.
Hush, his mother replied, in a voice that sounded just like his father, who sounded just like the narrator, who sounded just like Batman. Also whispering, she said,
she'll leave you alone. I promise. She's just trying to be friendly. He likes the girls,
Catherine repeated, leering at him with her cold blue eyes, again lowering her face close to Evan's.
Mom, her breath smells like triggers,
Evan exclaimed miserably.
Evan,
Miss Ross shouted angrily, stop it. I expect you to cooperate.
I'm going to bake you a pie,
Catherine said, tugging at her black ponytail with one of her huge hands.
Would you like to roll out the dough? I'll bet you would. What did your father tell you about me, Evan?
She winked at Miss Ross.
Did he tell you I was a scary old witch?
No, Evan protested, looking at his mother.
Well, I am,
Catherine declared, and once again burst into her deep-throated laugh. Traeger took his moment to begin barking ferociously and jumping on Evan's great aunt. She glared down at the dog, her eyes narrowing, her expression becoming stern.
Look out, or we'll put you in the pie, doggy,
she exclaimed. Trigger barked even harder, darting boldly toward the tall, hovering woman, then quickly retreating, his stub of a tail whipping back and forth in a frenzy.
We'll put him in the pie, won't we, Evan?
Catherine repeated, putting a big hand on Evan's shoulder and squeezing it till Evan flinched in pain.
Mom,
he pleaded when his aunt finally let go and smiling made her way to the kitchen.
Mom, please.
It's just her sense of humor, Evan, Miss Ross said uncertainly.
She means well, really. She's going to bake you a pie.
But I don't want pie, Evan wailed.
I don't like it here, Mom. She hurt me. She squeezed my shoulder so hard.
Evan, I'm sure she didn't mean to. She's just trying to joke with you. She wants you to like her. Give her a chance, okay? Evan started to protest, but thought better of it.
I'm counting on you, his mother continued, turning her eyes to the kitchen.
They could both see Catherine at the counter, her broad back to them, hacking away at something with a big kitchen knife.
But she's weird, Evan protested.
Listen, Evan, I understand how you're feeling, his mother said, but you won't have to spend all your time with her. There are a lot of kids in this neighborhood. Take Trigger for a walk. I'll bet you'll make some friends your age. She's an old woman, Evan. She won't want you hanging around all the time.
I guess, Evan muttered.
His mother bent down suddenly and gave him a hug, pressing her cheek against his. The hug, he knew, was supposed to cheer him up, but it only made him feel worse.
I'm counting on you, his mother repeated in his ear.
Evan decided to try and be braver about this.
I'll help you carry the suitcase up to my room,
he said. They carried it up the narrow staircase. His room was actually a study. The walls were lined with bookshelves filled with old hardcover books. A large mahogany desk stood in the center of the room. A narrow cot had been made up under the single curtain window. The window faced out onto the backyard, a long green rectangle with a gray shingled garage to the left, a tall picket fence to the right. A small fenced-in area stretched across the back of the yard. It looked like some sort of dog run. The room smelled musty, the sharp aroma of mothballs invaded Evan's nose. Trigger sneezed. He rolled onto his back, his legs racing in the air. Trigger can't stand this place either, Evan thought, but he kept his thought to himself, smiling bravely at his mother, who quickly unpacked his suitcase, nervously checking her watch.
I'm late. Don't want to miss my plane,
she said. She gave him another hug, longer this time. Then she took a $10 bill from her pocketbook and stuffed it into his shirt pocket.
Buy yourself a treat. Be good. I'll hurry back as fast as I can.
Okay, bye, he said, his chest feeling fluttery, his throat as dry as cotton. The smell of her perfume momentarily drowned out the mothballs. He didn't want her to leave. He had such a bad feeling. You're just scared, he scolded himself.
I'll call you from Atlanta,
she shouted as she disappeared down the stairs to say goodbye to Catherine. Her perfume disappeared. The mothballs returned. Trigger uttered a low, sad howl, as if he knew what was happening, as if he knew they were being abandoned here in the strange house with a strange old woman. Evan picked Trigger up and nose-picked his coal-black nose, Putting the dog back down on the worn carpet, he made his way to the window. He stood there for a long while, one hand holding the curtains aside, staring down at the small green yard, trying to calm the fluttering in his chest. After a few minutes, he heard his mother's car back down the gravel drive. Then he heard it roll away. When he could no longer hear it, he sighed and plopped down on the cot.
"It's just you and me now, Trigger," he said glumly.
Trigger was busy sniffing behind the door. Evan stared at the walls of old books. "What am I going to do here all day?" he asked himself, propping his head in his hands. No Nintendo, no computer. He hadn't even seen a TV in his great-aunt's small living room. What am I going to do? Sighing again, he picked himself up and walked along the bookshelves, his eyes scanning the titles. There were lots of science books and textbooks he saw, books on biology and astronomy. Who the fuck wants to learn about biology and astronomy? He thought. Ancient Egypt, chemistry texts, medical books. Several shelves were filled with dusty, yellowed books. Maybe Catherine's husband, Evan's great-uncle, had been some sort of scientist. Nothing here for me to read, he thought glumly. He pulled open the closet door. Oh! He cried out as something leapt out at him. Help! Please, help! Everything went black. Help! I can't see! Evan screamed. Chapter 3! Evan staggered back in fear as the warm blackness crept over him. Dun dun dun! It took him a few seconds to realize what it was. His heart still thudding in his chest, he reached up and pulled the screeching black cat off his face. The cat dropped silently to the ground and padded to the doorway. Evan turned and saw Catherine standing there, an amused grin on her face. How long had she been standing there, he wondered.
There, Beth, how did you get in there?
She asked, in a playfully scolding tone, bending down to speak to the cat.
You must have given the boy a fright.
The cat meowed and rubbed against Catherine's bare leg.
Did there, Beth, scare you?
Catherine asked Evan, still smiling.
That cat has a strange sense of humor. She's evil. Pure evil.
She chuckled to herself, as if she'd said something funny.
I'm okay,
Evan said uncertainly.
Watch out for Sarah Beth. She's evil,
Catherine repeated, bending down and picking the cat up by the scruff of the neck, holding her up in the air in front of her.
Evil, evil, evil.
Seeing the cat suspended in the air, Trigger uttered an unhappy howl. His stubby tail went into motion, and he leapt up at the cat, barking and yipping, missing, and leapt again, snapping at Sarah Beth's tail.
Down, Trigger, get down,
Evan cried. Struggling to get out of Catherine's arms, the cat swiped a clawed black paw at her, screeching in anger and fear. Trigger barked and howled as Evan struggled to pull the excited cocker spaniel away. Evan grabbed hold of Trigger as the cat swung to the floor and disappeared out the door.
Bad dog, bad dog,
Evan whispered, but he didn't really mean it. He was glad Trigger had scared the cat away. He looked up to see Catherine still filling the doorway, staring down at him sternly.
Bring the dog,
she said in a low voice, her eyes narrowed, her pale lips pursed tightly.
Huh?
Evan gripped Trigger in a tight hug.
Bring the dog,
Catherine repeated coldly. We can't.
We can't have animals fighting in this house.
But Aunt Catherine,
Evan started to plead, then remembered she couldn't hear him.
Sarah Beth is a bad one,
Catherine said, not softening her expression.
We can't get her riled up, can we?
She turned and started down the stairs.
Bring the dog, Evan. Bring the dog.
Holding Trigger light tightly by the shoulders with both hands, Evan hesitated.
I have to take care of that dog,
Catherine said sternly.
Come.
Evan was suddenly filled with dread. What did she mean? Take care of the dog. Assuming that's what she said, but it was really hard to understand her. A picture flashed into his mind of Catherine standing at the door with a bloody kitchen knife in her hand.
Bring the dog,
Catherine insisted. Evan gasped. What was she going to do to Trigger?
Chapter 4.
I will take care of you, doggy,
Catherine repeated, frowning at Trigger. The dog whimpered in reply.
Come, Evan, follow me,
she said impatiently. Seeing that he had no choice, Evan obediently carried Trigger down the stairs and followed his aunt to the backyard.
And prepared,
she said, turning to make sure he was following. Despite her age, she was at least 80. She walked with long, steady strides.
I knew you would bring a dog, so I made sure I was prepared.
Trigger licked Evan's hand as they walked across the yard to the long, fenced-in area at the back.
It's a special place for your dog,
Catherine said, reaching up to grab one end of the rope that stretched across the run.
Attach this to the collar, Evan. Your dog will have fun here.
She frowned disapprovingly at Trigger.
And there would be no problems with Sarah Beth.
Evan felt very relieved that this was all Catherine wanted to do to Trigger, but he didn't want to leave Trigger tied up in this prison in the back of the yard. Trigger was a house dog. He wouldn't be happy by himself out there. But Evan knew he had no way of arguing with his aunt, because she was deaf and talked like a retard. Catherine is smart in a way, he thought bitterly as he hooked Trigger's collar to the rope. Since she won't learn sign language and won't lip read, it means she gets to do whatever she wants and no one can tell her no. He bent down and gave Trigger's warm head a pat and looked up at the old woman. She had her arms crossed in front of her chest, her blue eyes glowing brightly in the sunlight, a cold smile of triumph on her face.
That's a good boy,
she said, waiting for Evan to get up before starting back to the house.
I knew when I looked at you. Come to the house, Evan. I have cookies and milk. You'll enjoy them. Mm-mm-mm.
Her words were kind, but her voice was hard and cold. Trigger set up an unhappy howl as Evan followed Catherine to the house. Evan turned, intending to go back and comfort the dog, but Catherine grabbed his hand in an iron grip and, staring straight ahead, led him to the kitchen door. The kitchen was small and cluttered and very warm. Catherine motioned for him to sit at a small table against the wall. The table was covered with a plastic, checkered tablecloth. She frowned, her eyes studying him as she brought over his snack. He downed the oatmeal raisin cookies and milk, listening to Trigger howl in the backyard. Oatmeal raisin wasn't his favorite, but he was surprised to find that he was hungry. As he gobbled them down, Catherine stood at the doorway, staring intently at him, a stern expression on her face. "I'm going to take Trigger for a walk," he announced, wiping the milk mustache off his upper lip with a paper napkin she had given him. Catherine shrugged and wrinkled up her face. "Oh, right, she can't hear me," Evan thought, standing at the kitchen window. He pointed to Trigger, then made a walking motion with two fingers. Catherine nodded. "Whew," he thought, "this is going to be hard." He waved goodbye and hurried to free Trigger from his backyard prison. A few minutes later, Trigger was tugging at the leash, sniffing the flowers along the curb as Evan made his way up the block. The other houses on the street were about the same size as Catherine's, he saw, and they all had small, neatly trimmed square front yards. He saw some little kids chasing each other around a birch tree, and he saw a middle-aged man in bright orange bathing trunks washing his car with a garden hose in his driveway, but he didn't see any kids his age. Trigger barked at a squirrel and tugged the leash out of Evan's hand. "Hey, come back!" Evan called. Trigger, disobedient as always, took off after the squirrel. The squirrel wisely climbed the tree, but Trigger, his eyesight not what it once was, continued the chase. Running at full speed, calling the dog's name, Evan followed him around a corner and halfway down the block before Trigger finally realized he had lost the race. Just like all of Arlstein's books prior to this one, Evan's dog led him on a chase that was crucial to the plot line. Breathing hard, Evan grabbed the leash handle. "Gotcha," he said. He gave the leash a tug, trying to lead the panting dog back to Catherine Street. Trigger, sniffing around a dark tree trunk, pulled the other way. Evan was about to pick up the stubborn dog when he was startled by a hand grabbing his shoulder. "Hey, who are you?" a voice demanded. Chapter 5. Evan spun around to find a girl standing behind him, staring at him with dark brown eyes. "Why'd you grab my shoulder like that?" he asked, his heart still pounding. "To scare you," she said simply. "Yeah, well," Evan shrugged. It was obvious that she did scare him like a little bitch. Trigger gave a hard tug at the leash and nearly pulled him over. The girl laughed. She was pretty, he thought. She had short, wavy brown hair, almost black, and flashing brown eyes and a playful, teasing smile. She was wearing an oversized yellow t-shirt over black spandex leggings and bright yellow Nikes. "So who are you?" she demanded again. She wasn't the shy type, he decided. "I'm me," he said, letting Trigger lead him around the tree. "Did you move into the Winter Halter house?" she asked, following him. He shook his head. "No, I'm just visiting," she frowned in disappointment. "For a couple weeks," Evan added. "I'm staying with my aunt. Actually, she's my great-aunt." "What's so great about her?" the girl cracked. "Nothing," Evan replied without laughing. "For sure." Trigger sniffed at a bug on a fat brown leaf. "Is that your bike?" Evan asked, pointing to the red BMX bike lying on the grass behind her. "Yeah," she replied. "It's cool," he said. "I have one like it." "I like your dog," she said, eyeing Trigger. "He looks real stupid. I like stupid dogs." "Me too, I guess." Evan laughed. "What's his name? Does he have a stupid name?" She bent down and tried to pet Trigger's back, but he moved away. "His name's Trigger," Evan said and waited for her reaction. "Yeah, that's pretty stupid," she said thoughtfully. "Especially for a Cocker Spaniel." "Thanks," Evan said uncertainly. Trigger turned to sniff the girl's hands, his tail wagging furiously, his tongue hanging down to the ground. "I have a stupid name too," the girl admitted. She waited for Evan to ask. "What is it?" he said finally.
Andrea, she said. That's not a stupid name.
I hate it, she said, pulling a blade of grass off her leggings. Andrea, she stretched her name out in a deep, cultured voice. It sounds so stuck up, like I would be wearing a corduroy jumper with a prim white blouse, walking a toy poodle, so I make everyone call me Andy, she said in a voice that sounded just like the father, that sounded just like the mother, in that one instance that sounded just like the narrator who sounds just like Batman.
Hi, Andy, Evan said, petting Trigger. My name is...
Don't tell me, she interrupted back in her normal voice, clamping a hot hand over his mouth. She certainly isn't shy, he thought.
Let me guess, she said. Is it a stupid name, too?
Yeah, he nodded.
It's Evan. Evan Stupid.
She laughed. That's really a stupid name. He felt glad that he made her laugh. She was cheering him up, he realized. A lot of the girls back home didn't appreciate his sense of humor. They thought he was silly.
What are you doing? She asked. Walking, Trigger. You know, exploring the neighborhood.
It's pretty boring, she said.
Just a lot of houses. Want to go into town? It's only a few blocks away.
She pointed down the street. Evan hesitated. He hadn't told his aunt he was going into town. But what the heck, he thought. She wouldn't care. Besides, what could possibly happen?
Chapter 6!
Okay, Evan said. Let's check out the town. I have to go to a toy store and look for a present for my cousin, Andy said, hoisting her bike up by the handlebars. How old are you? Evan asked, tugging Trigger down the street.
12.
Me too, he said. Can I try your bike?
She shook her head as she climbed onto the narrow street.
No, but I'll let you run alongside.
Ha ha ha, she laughed.
You're a riot,
he said sarcastically, hurrying to keep up as she began to pedal.
And you're stupid, she called back playfully. Hey, Andrea, wait up, he called, stretching the name out to annoy her.
A few blocks later, the houses ended and they entered town, a three-block stretch of low two-story shops and offices. Evan saw a small brick post office, a barber shop with an old-fashioned barber pole up front, a grocery, a drive-through bank, and a hardware store with a large sign in the window proclaiming a sale on birdseed.
The toy store is in the next block, Andy said, walking her bike along the sidewalk.
Evan tugged Trigger's leash, encouraging him to keep up the pace.
Actually, there are two toy stores, an old one and a new one. I like the old one best.
Let's check it out, Evan said, examining the cluttered window display of the video store in the corner. I wonder if Aunt Catherine has a VCR, he thought. He quickly dismissed the idea. No way. The toy store was in an old clapboard building that hadn't been painted in many years. A small hand-painted sign in the dust-smeared window proclaimed, Wagner's Novelties and Sundries. There were no toys on display. Annie leaned her bike against the front of the buildings.
Sometimes the owner can be a little mean. I don't know if he'll let you bring your dog in.
Well, let's give it a try, Evan said, pulling open the door, tugging hard on his leash. Trigger led the way into the store. Evan found himself in a dark, low-ceiling, narrow room. It took a while for his eyes to adjust to the dim light. Wagner's looked more like a warehouse than a store. There were floor-to-ceiling shelves against both walls, jammed with boxes of toys and a long display counter that ran through the center of the store, leaving narrow aisles that even someone as skinny as Evan had to squeeze through. At the front of the store, slumped on a tall stool behind an old-fashioned wooden cash register, sat a grumpy-looking man with a single tuft of white hair in the center of a red, bald head. He had a drooping white mustache and seemed to frown at Evan and Andy as they entered.
Hi,
Andy said, timidly giving the man a wave. He grunted in reply and turned back to the newspaper he was reading. Trigger sniffed the low shelves excitedly. Evan looked around at the stacks of toys. It appeared from the thick layer of dust that they had been sitting there for 100 years. Everything seemed tossed together. Dolls next to building sets, art supplies mixed in with old action figures. Evan didn't even recognize a toy drum set underneath a pile of footballs. He and Andy were the only customers in the store.
Do they have Nintendo video games?
Evan asked her, whispering, afraid to break the silence.
I don't think so,
Andy whispered back. I'll ask. She shouted at the front, Do you have Nintendo video games? It took a while for the man to answer. He scratched his ear.
Don't carry them,
he grunted finally, sounding annoyed by the interruption. Andy and Evan wandered toward the back of the store.
Why do you like this place?
Evan whispered, picking up an old cat pistol with a cowboy holster.
I just think it's neat, Andy replied. You can find some real treasures in here. It's not like other toy stores.
That's for sure, Evan said sarcastically. Hey, look! He picked up a lunchbox with a cowboy dressed in black and blazoned on its side.
Hopalong Cassidy, he read.
Who's Hopalong Cassidy? A cowboy with a stupid name, Andy said, in a voice that sounded like she sounded earlier in that one instance who sounded like the mom, who sounded like the dad, who sounded like the narrator, who sounded like Batman. Taking the old lunchbox from him and examining it,
Look, it's made of metal, not plastic. Wonder if my cousin would like it. He likes stupid names, too. It's a pretty weird present, Evan said. He's a pretty weird cousin.
Andy cracked.
Hey, look at this. She set down the old lunchbox and picked up an enormous box. It's a magic set. Astound your friends. Perform 100 amazing tricks, she read. That's a lot of amazing tricks, Evan said, more witty than you would expect. He wandered farther back into the dimly lit store, Trigger leading the way, sniffing furiously. Hey! To Evan's surprise, a narrow doorway led into a small back room. This room, Evan saw, was even darker and dustier. Stepping inside, he sat between two worn-looking stuffed animals tossed in the cartons, games in faded yellow boxes, baseball gloves with the leather worn thin and cracked. Who would want this junk, he thought. He was about to leave when something caught his eye. It was a blue can about the size of a can of soup. He picked it up, surprised by how heavy it was. Bringing it close to his face to examine it in the dim light, he read the faded label. Monster Blood. Below that, in smaller type, it read, Surprising Miracle Substance. Hey, this looks cool, he thought, turning the can around in his hand. He suddenly remembered the $10 his mother had stuffed into his shirt pocket. He turned to see the store owner standing in the doorway, his dark eyes wide with anger. What are you doing back here? He bellowed.
Chapter 7.
Trigger yipped loudly, startled by the man's booming voice. Evan gripped the leash, pulling Trigger close. How much is this? He asked, holding up the can of Monster Blood. Not for sale, the owner said, lowering his voice, his mustache seeming to frown unpleasantly with the rest of his face. Huh? It was on the shelf here, Evan said, pointing. It's too old, the man insisted. Probably no good anymore. Well, I'll take it anyway, Evan said. Can I have it for less, since it's so old? Wow, what a shyster. What is it? Andy asked, appearing in the doorway. I don't know, Evan told her. It looks cool. It's called Monster Blood. It's not for sale, the man insisted. Andy pushed past him and took the can from Evan's hand. Oh, I want one too, she said, turning the can around in her hand. There's only one, Evan told her. You sure? She began searching the shelves. It's no good, I'm telling you, the owner insisted, sounding exasperated. I need one too, Andy said to Evan. Sorry, Evan replied, taking the can back. I saw it first. I'll buy it from you, Andy said. Why don't you two share it? The owner suggested. You mean you'll sell it to us? Evan asked eagerly. The man shrugged and scratched his ear. How much? Evan asked. You sure you don't have another one? Andy demanded, going back to the shelf, pushing a pile of stuffed pandas out of her way. Or maybe two. I could keep one and give one to my cousin. $2, I guess, the man told Evan. But I'm telling you, it's no good. It's too old. I don't care, Evan said, reaching into his shirt pocket for the $10 bill. Well, don't bring it back to me complaining, the man said grumpily and headed toward the cash register at the front of the door. A few minutes later, Evan walked out into the bright daylight carrying the blue can. Trigger panted excitedly, wagging his stubby tail, pleased to be out of the dark, dusty store. Andy followed them out, an unhappy expression on her face. You didn't buy the lunchbox? Evan asked. Don't change the subject, she snapped. I'll pay you $5 for it. She reached out for the can of Monster Blood. No way, Evan replied. He laughed. You really like to get your way, don't you? I'm an only child, she said. What can I tell you? I'm spoiled. Me too, Evan said. I have an idea, Andy said, pulling her bike off the storefront wall. Let's share it. Share it, Evan said, shaking his head. For sure. I'll share it the way you shared your bike. You want to ride the bike home? Here, she shoved it at him. No way, he said, pushing it back toward her. I'm going to ride your stupid bike now. It's a girl's bike anyway. It is not, she insisted. How is it a girl's bike? Evan ignored the question and pulled at Trigger's leash to keep the old dog moving, started walking back toward his aunt's. How is it a girl's bike? Andy repeated, walking the bike beside him. Tell you what, Evan said. Let's go back to my aunt's house and open up the can. I'll let you mess with it for a while. Just a little while. Gee, swell, Andy said sarcastically. You're a great guy, Evan. I know, he said, grinning. Catherine was seated in the big armchair in the living room when Evan and Andy arrived. Who was she talking to, he wondered, hearing her voice. She seemed to be arguing excitedly with someone. Leading Andy into the room, Evan saw that it was just Sarabeth, the black cat. As Evan entered, the cat turned and haughtily walked out of the room. Catherine stared at Evan and Andy, a look of surprise on her face. This is Andy, Evan said, gesturing to his new friend. What have you got there? Catherine asked, ignoring Andy and reaching a large hand out for the blue can of Monster Blood. Evan reluctantly handed it to her. Frowning, she rolled it around in her hand, stopped to read the label, moved her lips as she read. She held the can for the longest time, seeming to study it carefully, then finally handed it back to Evan. As Evan took it back and started to his room with Andy, he heard Catherine say something to him in a low whisper. He couldn't quite hear what she said. It sounded like,
Be careful!
But he wasn't sure. He turned to see Cerebes staring at him from the doorway, her yellow eyes glowing in the dim light. My aunt is completely deaf, Evan explained to Andy as they climbed the stairs. You would think that he would have told her that earlier when he was inviting her over, maybe on the ride, maybe on the walk. Either way, he was just telling her now for the first time after there was an awkward silence between Catherine and them.
Does that mean you can play your stereo as loud as you want?
Andy asked.
I don't think Aunt Catherine has a stereo, Evan said,
which is also weird because he could have just brought his stereo or his Nintendo or his video games or his VCR or his videos or any other thing to preoccupy him so that he wouldn't have had to purchase that canister of Monster Blood after his dog made him run down there even though he didn't expect to. Whatever.
That's too bad,
Andy said, walking around Evan's room, pulling back the window curtains and looking down on Trigger, huddled hat and happily in his pen.
Is she really your great aunt? Andy asked.
She doesn't look very old.
It's the black hair,
Evan replied, setting the can of Monster Blood on the desk in the center of the room.
It makes her look young.
Hey, look at all these old books on magic stuff, Andy exclaimed.
I wonder why your aunt has all these.
She pulled one of the heavy old volumes from the shelf and blew away a layer of dust from the top.
Maybe your aunt plans to come up here and cast a spell on you while you're sleeping and turn you into a newt.
Maybe, Evan replied, grinning.
What is a newt, anyway?
Andy shrugged.
Some kind of lizard, I think.
She flipped through the yellow pages of the old book.
I thought you said there was nothing to do here, she told Evan. You could read all these cool books.
Thrills and chills, Evan said sarcastically. Fuck anatomy and biology. No one wants to read that shit. Replacing the book on the shelf, Andy came over to the desk and stood next to Evan, her eyes on the can of Monster Blood.
Open it up. It's so old, it's probably all disgusting and rotting.
I hope so, Evan said. He picked up the can and studied it.
No instructions.
Just pull the top off, she said impatiently. He tugged at it. It wouldn't budge.
Maybe you need a can opener or something, she said.
Very helpful, he muttered, studying the label again.
Look at this. No instructions, no ingredients, nothing.
Of course not. It's Monster Blood, she exclaimed, imitating Count Dracula.
Monster Blood!
That's more like it, said the narrator. She grabbed Evan's neck and pretended to strangle him. He laughed.
Stop it, you're not helping.
He slammed the can down on the desktop and the lid popped off. Hey, look, he cried. She let go of his neck and they both peered inside the can.
Chapter 8.
The substance inside the can was bright green. It shimmered like jello to the light from the ceiling fixture.
Touch it,
Andy said. But before Evan had a chance, she reached a finger in and poked it.
It's cold, she said.
Touch it, it's really cold. Evan poked it with his finger. It was cold, thicker than jello, heavier. He pushed his finger beneath the surface. When he pulled his finger out, it made a loud, sucking noise.
Gross,
Andy said. Evan shrugged.
I've seen worse.
I'll bet it glows in the dark, Andy said, hurrying over to the light switch by the door. It looks like the green that glows in the dark. She turned off the ceiling light, but late afternoon sunlight still poured in through the window curtains.
Try the closet,
she instructed excitedly. Evan carried the can into the closet. Andy followed and closed the door.
Yuck, mothballs, she cried. I can't breathe.
The Monster Blood definitely glowed in the dark. A circular ray of green light seemed to shine from the can.
Wow, that's cool. That's way cool,
Andy said, holding her nose to keep out the pungent aroma of the mothballs.
I've had other stuff that did this, Evan said, more than a little disappointed. It was called alien stuff or yucky glop, something like that.
Well, if you don't want it, I'll take it, Andy replied.
I didn't say I didn't want it, Evan said quickly. Let's get out of here.
Andy begged. Evan pushed open the door and they rushed out of the closet, slamming the door shut behind them. Both of them sucked in fresh air for a few seconds.
Whew, I hate that smell,
Evan declared. He looked around to see that Andy had taken a handful of Monster Blood from the can. She squeezed it in her palm.
It feels even colder outside the can, she said, grinning at him.
Look, when you squeeze it flat, it pops right back.
Yeah, it probably bounces, too, Evan said, unimpressed. Try bouncing it against the floor. All those things bounce like rubber. Who cares?
Andy rolled the glob of Monster Blood into a ball and dropped it to the floor. It bounced back up into her hand. She bounced a little harder. This time it rebounded against the wall and went flying out the bedroom door.
It bounces really well, she said, chasing it out into the hall. Let's see if it stretches.
She grabbed it with both hands and pulled, stretching it into a long string.
Yep, it stretches too.
Big deal, Evan said. The stuff I had before bounced and stretched really well too. I thought the stuff was going to be different. I mean, it's called Monster Blood.
It stays cold, even after it's been in your hand, Andy said, returning to the room.
Evan glanced at the wall and noticed a dark, round stain by the floorboard.
Uh-oh, look, Andy, that stuff stains. Let's take it outside and toss it around, she suggested.
She suggested.
Okay,
he agreed.
We'll go out back. That way Trigger won't be so lonely.
Evan held out the can, and Andy replaced the ball of monster blood. Then they headed downstairs and out to the backyard, where they were greeted by Trigger, who acted as if they'd been away for at least 20 years. The dog finally calmed down and sat down in the shade of a tree, panting noisily. "Good boy," Evan said softly. Take it easy, old fella." Andy reached into the can and pulled out a green glob. Then Evan did the same. They rolled the stuff in their hands until they had two ball-shaped globs. Then they began to play catch with them.
"It's amazing how they don't lose their shape,"
Andy said, tossing a green ball high in the air. Evan shielded his eyes from the late afternoon sun and caught the ball with one hand.
"All the stuff is the same," he said. "It isn't so special."
"Well, I think it's cool," Andy said defensively. Evan's next toss was too high. The green ball of gunk sailed over Andy's outstretched hands.
"Whoa!" Andy cried.
"Sorry," Evan called. They both stared at the ball bounce once, twice, then landed right in front of Trigger. Startled, the dog jumped to his feet and lowered his nose to sniff it.
"No, boy," Evan called. "Leave it alone. Leave it alone, boy."
As disobedient as ever, Trigger lowered his head and licked the glowing green ball.
"No, boy. Drop, drop,"
Evan called, alarmed. He and Andy both lunged toward the dog, but they were too slow. Trigger picked up the ball of monster blood in his teeth and began chewing it.
"No, Trigger," Evan shouted. "Don't swallow it. Don't swallow."
Trigger swallowed it.
"Oh, no,"
Andy cried, bailing her hands into fists at her... why does it say bailing? It's bawling. Obviously, she was bawling her hands into fists at her sides. It says bailing. I know you think that I said bailing because I'm retarded, but I didn't. It's supposed to be bawling. Let me try that again.
"Oh, no,"
Andy cried, bawling her hands into fists at her sides.
"Now there isn't enough left for us to share."
As if Evan ever wanted to share with her anyway, that dumb bitch. She wouldn't even share her bike, but I guess he already made that point. He bent down and pried apart the dog's jaws. The green blob was gone, swallowed.
"Stupid dog," Evan said softly, releasing the dog's mouth.
He shook his head as troubling thoughts poured into his mind. What if the stuff makes Trigger sick, Evan wondered. What if the stuff is poison? Dun, dun, dun! Chapter 9!
"Are we going to bake that pie today?"
Evan asked his aunt, writing the question on a pad of lined yellow paper he had found on the desk in his room. Catherine read the question while adjusting her black ponytail. Her face was as white as cake flour in the morning sunlight filtering through the kitchen window. "What the fuck kind of description was that?"
"Pie? What pie?"
she replied coldly. Evan's mouth dropped open. He decided not to remind her.
"Go play with your friend,"
Catherine said, still coldly petting Cerebus's head as the black cat walked by the breakfast table.
"Why do you want to stay inside with an old wit?"
It was 3 days later. Evan had tried to be friendly with his aunt, but the more he tried, the colder she had become. "She's mean. She's really mean," he thought, as he ate the last spoonful of cereal from his bowl of shredded wheat. That was the only cereal she had. Evan struggled to choke it down every morning. No one likes shredded wheat. That shit is disgusting. Even with milk.
"Looks like it might rain," Catherine said,
and took a long sip of the strong tea she had brewed. Her teeth clicked noisily as she drank. Evan turned his eyes to the bright sunlight outside the window. What made her think it was going to rain? Is that even what she said? He glanced back at her, seated across from him at the small kitchen table. For the first time, he noticed the pendant around her neck. It was cream-colored and sort of bone-shaped. "It is a bone," Evan decided. He stared hard at it, trying to decide if it was a real bone, from some animal maybe, or a bone carved out of ivory. Catching its stare, Catherine reached up with a large hand and tucked the pendant inside her blouse.
"Go see your girlfriend. She's a pretty one,"
Catherine said. She took another long sip of tea, again clicking her teeth as she swallowed. "Yes, I've got to get out of here," Evan thought. He pushed his chair back, stood up, and carried his bowl to the sink. "I can't take much more of this," Evan thought miserably. "She hates me. She really does." He hurried up to the stairs in his room, where he brushed his curly red hair. Staring into the mirror, he thought of the call he had received from his mother the night before. She had called right after dinner, and he could tell immediately from her voice that things weren't going well down in Atlanta.
"How's it going, Mom?"
he asked, so happy to hear her voice, even though she was nearly 1,000 miles away.
"Slowly,"
his mother had replied hesitantly.
"What do you mean? How's Dad? Did he find a house?"
The question seemed to pour out of him like air escaping a balloon. That was the sound of air escaping a balloon.
"Whoa, slow down,"
Miss Ross had replied. She sounded tired.
"We're both fine, but it's taking a little longer to find a house than we thought. We just haven't found anything we liked."
"Does that mean..." Evan started.
"We found one really nice house, very big, very pretty,"
his mother interrupted.
"But the school you'd go to wasn't very good." "Oh, that's okay. I don't have to go to school,"
Evan joked. He could hear his father saying something in the background. His mother covered the receiver to reply.
"When are you coming to pick me up?"
Evan asked eagerly. It took his mother a while to answer.
"Well, that's the problem," she said finally. "We may need a few more days down here than we thought. How's it going up there, Evan? Are you okay?"
Hearing the bad news that he'd have to stay even longer with Catherine made Evan feel like screaming and kicking the wall, but he didn't want to upset his mother. He told her he was fine and that he'd made a new friend. His father had taken the phone and offered a few encouraging words. "Hang in there," he had said just before ending the conversation. "I'm hanging in," Evan had thought glumly, but hearing his parents' voices had made him even more homesick. Now it was the next morning. Putting down his hairbrush, he examined himself quickly in his dresser mirror. He was wearing denim cutoffs and a red Gap t-shirt. Downstairs, he hurried through the kitchen, where Catherine appeared to be arguing with Sarah Beth, ran out the back door, then jogged to the backyard to get Trigger. "Hey, Trigger!" But the dog was asleep, lying on his side in the center of his run, gently snoring. "Don't you want to go to Andy's house?" Evan asked quietly. Trigger stirred, but didn't open his eyes. "Okay, see you later," Evan said. He made sure Trigger's water bowl was filled, then headed to the front of the house. He was halfway down the next block, walking slowly, thinking about his parents so far away in Atlanta, when a boy's voice called, "Hey, you!" And two boys stepped onto the sidewalk in front of him, blocking his way. Startled, Evan stared from one boy to the other. They were twins, identical twins. Both were big, beefy guys with short, white, blonde hair and round, red faces. They were both wearing dark t-shirts with the names of heavy metal bands on the front, baggy shorts and high-top sneakers untied without socks. Evan guessed they were about 14 or 15. "Who are you?" one of them asked menacingly, narrowing his pale gray eyes, trying to act tough. Both twins moved closer, forcing Evan to take a big step back. "These guys are twice my size," Evan realized, feeling a wave of fear sweep over him. "Are they just acting tough, or do they really mean to give me trouble?" I'm staying with my aunt," he stammered, shoving his hands into his pockets and taking another step back. The twins flashed each other quick grins. "You can't walk on this block," one of them said, hovering over Evan. "Yeah, you're not a resident," the other said. "That's a big word," Evan cracked, then immediately wished he hadn't said it. "Why can't I ever keep my big mouth shut?" he asked himself. His eyes surveyed the neighborhood, searching for someone who might come to his aid in case the twins decided to get rough, but there was no one in sight. Front doors were closed, yards were empty. Way down the block, he could see a mailman headed the other way, too far away to shout to. No one around, no one to help him, and the two boys, their faces set, their eyes still menacing, began to move in on him. Chapter 10. "Where do you think you're going?" one of the twins asked. His hands were balled into fists at his sides. He stepped closer until he was just an inch or two from Evan, forcing Evan to take a few steps back. "To see a friend," Evan replied uncertainly. Maybe these guys were just bluffing. "Not allowed," the twin quickly grinned at his brother. They both snickered and moved toward Evan, forcing him to back off the curb onto the street. "You're not a resident," the other one repeated. He narrowed his eyes, trying to look tough. "Hey, give me a break, guys," Evan said. He tried moving to the side, walking in the street to get around them, but they both moved quickly to keep him from getting away. "Maybe you could pay a toll," one of them said. "Yeah," the other one quickly chimed in. "You could pay the non-resident toll, you know, to get temporary permission for walking on this block." "I don't have any money," Evan said, feeling his fear grow. He suddenly remembered he had $8 in his pocket. Were they going to rob him? Would they beat him up and then rob him? "You have to pay the toll," one of them said, leering at him. "Let's just see what you've got." They both moved quickly forward, making a grab for him. He backed away. His legs suddenly felt heavy from fear. Suddenly, a voice cried out from down the sidewalk. "Hey, what's going on?" Evan raised his eyes, past the two hulking boys to see Andy speeding towards him on her bike along the curb. "Evan, hi," she called. The twins turned away from Evan to greet the new arrival. "Hi, Andy," one of them said in a mocking tone. "How's it going, Andy?" the other one asked, imitating his brother. Andy braked her bike and dropped both feet to the ground. She was wearing bright pink shorts and a yellow sleeveless undershirt top. Her face was red, her forehead beaded with perspiration from pedaling so hard. "You too," she said and made an unpleasant face. "Rick and Tony." She turned to Evan. "Were they getting on your case?" "Well," Evan started hesitantly. "We were welcoming them to the neighborhood," the other one said. Tony started to add something, but Andy interrupted. "Well, leave him alone." "Are you his mother?" Tony asked, snickering. He turned to Evan and made goo-goo baby noises. "Goo-goo gaga, gaga goo-goo baby, you're a baby. Wah, this is the sound of you being a baby.
"All right, that's enough," said the narrator.
"Well, leave him alone," Rick said, stepping toward Andy. "We'll borrow your bike and leave him alone."
"No way," Andy said heatedly. But before Andy could move, Rick grabbed the handlebars. "Let go," Andy cried, trying to pull the bike from his grasp. Rick held tight. Tony shoved Andy hard. She's a girl, and he hit her because he didn't give a shit. That is fucked up. She lost her balance and fell, and the bike toppled over on top of her.
"Oh!"
Andy uttered a low cry as she hit her head on the concrete curb. She lay sprawled on the curb, her hands flailing, the bike on top of her. Before she could get up, Tony reached down and grabbed the bike away. He swung his legs over the seat and began to pedal furiously. Those were some hardcore twins. They just knocked the girl to the floor and stole her bike. "Wait up!" his brother called, laughing as he ran alongside. "Man, those guys are totally hardcore badasses." In seconds, the twins disappeared around the corner with Andy's bike. "Andy, are you okay?" Evan cried, hurrying to the curb. "Are you okay?" He grabbed Andy's hand and pulled her to her feet. She stood up, groggily, rubbing the back of her head. "I hate those creeps," she said. She brushed the dirt and grass off her shorts and legs. "Ow, that hurt." "It's really weird that they stole her bike. Did they never see her before with a bike? I mean, they recognized her. They knew her name was Andy. What was the point of stealing the bike now? Did they just come up with that whole resident thing as they saw this guy? But she was a resident, so they shouldn't have stolen her bike. Just makes no sense. Good job, Arlstein," said the narrator. "Who are they?" Evan asked. "The Bamer twins," she answered, making a disgusted face. "Real heavy-duty dudes," she added sarcastically. She checked her leg to see if it was cut. It was just scraped. "They think they're so cool, but they're total creeps." "What about your bike? Should we call the police or something?" Evan asked. "No need," she said quietly, brushing back her hair. "I'll get it back. They've done this before. They'll leave it somewhere when they're finished." "I apologize, Mr. Arlstein. I hadn't read this far in the story. I mean, I read it a while ago, but I didn't realize that you covered up for them stealing the bike by saying that it had been stolen before. My apologies. We'll move on, shall we?"
"But shouldn't we?"
Evan started.
"They just run wild,"
Andy interrupted.
"There's no one home to check up on them. They live with their grandmother, but she's never around. Did they give you a hard time?"
Evan nodded. "Obviously, what the fuck?"
"I was afraid I was going to have to pound him," he joked.
Andy didn't laugh.
"I'd like to pound him," she said angrily. "Just once, I'd like to pay them back. They pick on all the kids in the neighborhood. They think they can do whatever they want because they're so big and because there are two of them."
"Sounds about right to me," said the narrator.
"Your knee is cut,"
Evan said, pointing.
"I'd better go home and clean it up," she replied, rolling her eyes disgustedly. "See you later, okay? I have to go somewhere this afternoon, but maybe we can do something tomorrow."
She headed back to her house, rubbing the back of her head. Evan returned to Catherine's, walking slowly, thinking about the Bamer twins, daydreaming about fighting them, imagining himself beating them to a pulp in a fight as Andy watched, cheering him on. Maybe he would have a ninja sword. Maybe he would have a machine gun. It would be tight. Catherine was dusting the front room as Evan entered. She didn't look up. He headed quickly up the stairs to his room. "Now what am I going to do?" he wondered, pacing back and forth. The blue container of Monster Blood caught his eyes. He walked over to the bookshelf and picked up the can from the middle shelf. He pulled off the lid. The can was nearly full. He looked up at the bookshelf. Anatomy? Biology? Fuck that shit. I guess Trigger didn't eat that much, he thought, feeling a little relieved, his attention back on the Monster Blood can. Trigger! He'd forgotten all about him. The poor dog must be hungry. Putting down the Monster Blood, Evan bombed down the stairs, leaning against the banister and taking the stairs three at a time. Then running full out, he practically flew to the dog run at the back of the yard. Trigger! Hey, Trigger! He called, halfway across the backyard. Evan could see that something was wrong. Trigger's eyes were bulging. His mouth was wide open, his tongue flailing rapidly from side to side, white spittle running down his chin, hair onto the ground. Trigger! The dog was gasping hoarsely, each breath a desperate, difficult struggle. He's choking, Evan realized and said out loud. As Evan reached the dog run, Trigger's eyes rolled back, and the dog's legs collapsed under him, his stomach still heaving, the air filled with his loud, hideous gasps.
Chapter 11.
Trigger, no! Evan dived to his knees beside the dog and began to tug at Trigger's collar. The collar, Evan saw, had become way too tight. The dog's chest heaved. Thick white spittle flowed from his open mouth. Hold on, boy, hold on, Evan cried. The dog's eyes rolled wildly in his head. He didn't seem to see or hear Evan. Hold on, fella, just hold on. The collar wouldn't budge. It was buried tightly under the dog's fur, his hands shaking. Evan struggled to pull the collar over Trigger's head. Come loose, come loose, come loose, he begged like a little bitch. Yes! Trigger uttered a pained whimper as Evan finally managed to pull a collar away. Trigger, it's off. Are you okay? Still panting hard, the dog jumped immediately to his feet. He licked Evan's face appreciatively, covered Evan's cheek with his thick saliva, whimpering as if he understood that Evan had just saved his life. Easy, boy. Easy, fella, Evan repeated, but the dog continued to lick him gratefully. Evan hugged the excited dog. This had been a close call, he knew. If he hadn't come along just then, well, he didn't want to think about it. When Trigger finally calmed down, Evan examined the collar. What made this collar shrink like that? The dog had walked over to the fence and was frantically slurping water from his bowl. This is plain weird, Evan thought. The collar couldn't have shrunk. It's made of leather. There was no reason for it to shrink. Then why did it suddenly start choking Trigger? Evan turned to Trigger, studying him as the dog lapped greedily at the water, breathing hard. He turned and glanced back at Evan for a second, then returned to his frantic water slurping. He's bigger, Evan decided. He's definitely bigger. But Trigger was 12 years old, 84 in human years, older than Aunt Catherine. Trigger was too old for a late growth spurt. It must be my eyes, Evan decided, tossing the collar to the ground. This place must be making me see things. Catherine was at the kitchen door, calling Evan to lunch. He poured out a bowl of dry food, shouted goodbye to Trigger, who didn't look up from the water dish, and hurried to the house. The next morning had an autumn chill in the air. Evan made his way to Andy's house. He found her huddled under a big maple tree in the neighbor's front yard. "What's going on?" he called. Then he saw that she was leaning over something, her hands working quickly. "Come help me," she cried, not looking up. Evan came jogging over. "Whoa," he cried out when he saw that Andy was struggling to free a calico cat that had been tied to the tree trunk. The cat screeched and swiped its paw at Andy. Andy dodged the claws and continued to pull at the big knots in the rope. "The Bamer twins did this. I know it," she said loudly over the shrilly protesting cat. "This poor cat was probably tied up here all night." The cat, in a panic, shrieked with amazingly human-sounding cries. "Ah, this is totally crappy. Somebody help me out." "Stand still, cat," Evan said as the terrified cat swiped its claws at Andy again. "Can I help?" "No, I've almost got it," she replied, tugging at the knot. "I'd like to tie Rick and Tony to this tree." "Poor frightened cat," Evan said quietly. "There," Andy said triumphantly, pulling the rope loose. The cat gave one last cry of protest, its tail standing straight up. Then it darted away, running at full speed, and disappeared under a tall hedge without looking back. "Not very polite," Evan muttered. Andy stood up inside. She was wearing faded denim jeans and a pale green oversized t-shirt that came down nearly to her knees. She lifted the bottom of the shirt to examine a hole the cat had managed to snag in it. "I can't believe those two creeps," she said, shaking her head. "Maybe you should call the police or the ASPCA or something," Evan suggested. "The twins would just deny it," Andy said glumly, shaking her head. Then she added, "And the cat's not a very good witness." They both laughed, despite the fact that the cat's voice had sounded so much like a human's when it was screaming earlier. Evan led the way back to his aunt's house. All the way back, they talked about how they'd like to teach the Bamer twins a lesson, but neither of them had any good ideas. I mean, besides being a ninja, jumping, flying, sidekicking, and murdering people with machine guns. They found Catherine concentrating on a jigsaw puzzle at the dining room table. She looked up when they entered, squinting at them.
"You like jigsaw puzzles? I like to keep my mind active, you know. That's why I like puzzles. Your mind can get flabby when it gets to be my age. 112.
She slapped the table gleefully at her own wit. Evan and Andy both flashed her agreeable smiles. Then she returned to her puzzle without waiting for a reply.
"She's going to drive me bananas," Evan exclaimed.
"Evan, she'll hear you," Andy protested, cupping a hand over his mouth. "I told you, she's completely deaf. She can't hear me. She doesn't want to hear anyone. She hates everyone."
"I think she's sweet," Andy said.
"Why does she wear a bone around her neck?"
"Probably thinks it's cool," Evan cracked.
"Let's go upstairs," Andy urged, pushing him toward the stairs.
"I still feel weird talking to your aunt right in front of her."
"You're a crazy old coot," Evan called Catherine, a big smile on his face. Catherine looked up from her puzzle pieces to cast a cold stare his way.
"She heard you," Andy cried, horrified.
"Don't be dumb," Evan said and stared up the stairs, nearly tripping over Sarah Beth. Up in Evan's room, Andy paced uncomfortably.
"What do you want to do?"
"Well, we could read some of these great books," Evan said sarcastically, pointing to the dusty old books that lined the walls, in particularly squinting at the biology and anatomy books. "Fuck that shit.
Maybe find a spell to cast on the Bamer twins. You know, turn them into newts."
"Forget about newts," Andy said dryly.
"Hey, where's the monster blood?"
Before Evan could answer, she spotted it on one of the shelves. They raced across the room for it. Andy got there first and grabbed the can.
"Evan, look," she said, her eyes growing wide with surprise. "What's going on?"
She held up the can. The green gunk had pushed up the lid and was flowing up out of the can.
Chapter 12.
"Huh? Did the top break or something?"
Evan asked. He took the can from her and examined it. Sure enough, the lid had popped off. The gooey green substance was pushing up out of the can. Evan pulled out a handful of the green gunk.
"Weird," he exclaimed.
"It's expanding," he said, squeezed it in his hand.
"It's definitely growing."
"I guess so," Andy exclaimed.
"It grew right out of the can."
"Hey, it's not cold anymore," Evan said. He balled it up and tossed it to Andy.
"It's really warm," she agreed.
"Weird." She tried to toss it back to him, but it stuck to her palm.
"It's getting sticky," she reported. "Are you sure this is the same stuff?"
"Of course," Evan replied.
"But it wasn't sticky before, remember?"
she said. He pulled another warm hunk of it from the can.
"I guess it just changes after the can has been opened."
He squeezed the stuff into a ball shape and tossed it to the floor.
"Look, it stuck to the floor. It didn't bounce."
"Weird," Andy repeated.
"Maybe I should throw it in the trash," Evan said, prying the sticky glob from the floor. "I mean, what good is it if it doesn't bounce?"
"Hey, no way," Andy said. "We've got to see what it does next." A soft meowing sound made them both turn toward the door. Evan was surprised to see Sarah Beth standing there, her head cocked, her yellow eyes staring at him. Or was she staring at the glob of monster blood in his hand? "That cat looks so intelligent," Andy said.
"It's as stupid as every other stupid cat," Evan muttered.
"Look, she wants to play ball with the monster blood."
"Sorry, cat," Andy said.
"It doesn't bounce." As if she understood, Sarah Beth meowed unhappily, turned, and padded silently from the room.
Now, where am I going to keep this stuff? Emmett asked. It's too big for its can. Here, how about this? Andy asked.
She reached down to a low shelf and came up with an empty coffee can.
Yeah, okay.
Evan tossed his hunk into the coffee can. Annie squeezed hers into a flat pancake.
Look, it isn't glowing the way it used to either, she said, holding the pancake up for Evan to see. But it sure is warm, almost hot.
It's alive! Evan screamed playfully. Run for your life, it's alive!
Andy laughed and began to chase Evan, menacing him with a flat green pancake.
Come get your monster blood, come and get it!
He dodged away, then grabbed it from her hand. He squeezed it together, balling it up in one hand, then tossed it into the coffee can. They both peered into the can. The green substance filled it up a little more than halfway.
Go ahead, taste it,
Andy urged, poking the can in his face.
I dare you.
Huh?
No way, I double dare you,
Evan said, pushing the coffee can back to her.
Double dares have to go first, Andy insisted, grinning.
Go ahead, taste it.
Evan made a disgusted face and shook his head. Then he made a big hunk of it and heaved it at Andy. Laughing, she picked it up off the carpet and tossed it at his face. She threw it high, and the green glob stuck to the wall. Evan reached for another hunk. They had a messy, hilarious monster blood battle till dinner time. Then, as they tried to clean it up, they both heard Trigger through the open window. He was barking loudly out in his pen. Evan reached the window first. The sky was still gray and overcast. Trigger was leaning on the wooden fence, standing on his hind legs, barking his head off.
Whoa, Trigger, Evan called. Chill out.
Hey, what's with Trigger? Andy asked.
Is your dog still growing? He looks so big.
Evan's mouth dropped open and he uttered a silent gasp, realizing that Andy was right. Trigger had nearly doubled in size.
And that's part one of R.L. Stine's Monster Blood. Next up, chapter 13. Whoa, that's creepy. All right, looking forward to part two.
All right, thanks a lot, Sam. Really appreciated that one. Can't wait to hear part two. I'm sure the listeners can't either. All right, stay spooky, bitches.